Hi folks, welcome again to another presentation of the program for the layman. We are so glad that you've joined us. As you know by now, this is a program where we cover topics of special interest to our lay people to equip them for the ministry. One of the most important issues that arise, especially in our tense time, is that of marriage. And I'm so privileged that my wife has joined me for this session, and hopefully in sharing together regarding our experience would be a blessing to you and help you to glean those important principles that one can carry over in counseling and also dealing with congregation members who may be facing crises in their marriage. Welcome to you, Annelie.
Thank you so much.
It's so nice to have you. And we are recording this in the 40th year of our marriage. We just celebrated 40 years of happy marriage the other day. It was actually on the Lord's Day on a Sunday, so fitting for it. And therefore, we can say we are still beginning. We are still minors as far as marriage issues are concerned. We're not there where people have celebrated 50 years or 60 years of marriage. We trust the Lord will spare us for that so that we can be a testimony in that as well. But we have gone a little bit further than those who have only 10 years or 15 years of marriage behind them. So, my dear wife, we're discussing the topic of marriage. We've been married 40 years. I suppose this is a very tough question to ask on air, but have you had any regrets?
No. It truly, you know, it's by the grace of God that one, I think the secret maybe is the fact that from the beginning, one knew this is what the Lord wanted, and there's no doubt in that. So whether we face trouble or difficulty, we can never doubt that that is the Lord's will. You know, life is like that. I mean, there will be challenges, not necessarily caused by the spouse, that caused by you, but by circumstances. Sometimes things that happen that we encounter, but never ever has a thought even come to say, you know, I wish I didn't do this or I didn't sign up for this. And maybe that is why the people who drew up the marriage vows were still godly people.
Yes.
And thought of the fact that people come into marriage with God and that the Lord has laid it on their hearts. And that is why they said, you know, you vow for better or for worse, so that you know this is, you know, this is the Lord's will, just like when we become His children, that we are, we know it's His will. And so even if we encounter difficulties as Christians, whether it's persecution or whatever comes, sickness, health, it doesn't make us think, well, I should never have followed the Lord, because it's not God causing that. And even the difficulties that come in the marriage, it's not the marriage causing that. This is part of life, and therefore we go through it together.
I think it's important to realize that even though you are a child of God, and it was your vision and your intention to make sure that your marriage is literally the perfect marriage made in heaven,
yeah,
because the external issues that come your way cannot be controlled, cannot be ordered or arranged,
yeah,
you get the impression that sometimes God specifically allows it and designs it so that it can be tested.
Yeah.
Because a faith is not a real faith unless it's a faith that has been tested. So as precious as marriage may be and as well as our intentions may be, God is going to allow certain things to come across your way in that marriage to test the caliber,
yeah,
to test the quality,
yes,
to see if this is really a marriage from God and made in heaven. And so you can't You can't order it, and neither can you say, well, since such a trial and tribulation has come my way, surely this could not have been of God.
Yeah.
If I was truly a believer, this should not be happening to me.
Yeah.
In fact, that's exactly what could be happening to you. And that is the challenge, because you've got to step up to the plate, you've got to rise above that, and you've got to be victorious. So trials and tribulations are there because we're living in the real world.
Yeah.
But a godly marriage will survive all of that. Maybe you can think of that parable where the Lord Jesus spoke about the two men
mm-hmm.
who built their house. The one built on sand and the other one built on the solid rock.
Yeah.
The same storms came.
Yes.
Because that's life.
Exactly.
Life is tough. We've yeah. said that to each other many times. And you can expect the storms to come because yeah. in nature, not every day is a lovely, rosy, sunshiny day.
Yes.
The days alternate, and one day a mighty storm can come up, and then one will actually see whether that marriage is built on the solid rock, on Christ.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's not at the time of the storm to start now wanting to sort out the foundations and to try and see, you know, is everything strong. That's the time of testing. So the foundations should be laid in the beginning correctly, and you build correctly. And the storm then comes and will just test and bring to the surface what it's built on. So it's actually just there to expose what the house is like. So we can't blame the storm and say, well, because of the storm, that's why things went wrong. That's why the house fell apart, because of all these storms that came. No, the storms only revealed that the house was not built on the solid rock. And, you know, I cannot remember whether it was in which one, but one of the parables written by one of them about the same storm, he speaks about that he dug deep until he got to the rock. And for me, it just spoke of removing everything that separates us from the rock, the Lord Jesus being that solid rock. And as long as there is something between me and that rock, that means it's still shaky, and that foundation can easily be shaken and the house can become crumbling down. So I think by God's grace, you know, when he helped us, both of us in the beginning, as we met with the Lord, it was important for us to make sure that everything that separates us from him are dealt with, and those things are removed, confessed or repented of, or made restitution. If there were things that maybe needed to be made right with someone, that we went all that way to do that, so that one could, as far as you know, by God's grace, not have things that separate us from Christ. Mm. And that is how we could lay that foundation on the solid rock.
Yeah. You said something very important there, that if there's something in between, so it doesn't matter how close you get to the rock.
Yeah.
If there's something in between, like mud or sand, yeah. then you must know it's going to produce insecurity.
Exactly.
Because it's lacking that
yes.
assured stability, that rock-fast mountedness on
yeah.
him.
Yeah.
And the devil will find it.
Yeah.
Because we must remember in the Garden of Eden, where you had Adam and Eve,
mm.
the problem that came in was the devil.
Yes.
He came and destroyed the bliss, the happiness, the joy, the peace, and everything yes. that they had, and introduced the separation, firstly, between them and God, and secondly, between themselves. So it's very important what you mentioned there. Those foundational issues need to be very clear and need to be established. And you can't wait for a crisis to come to check then to see if my marriage is solid or not. As our folks who are tuning in now are listening to the message, at this point in time, even if it's rosy, even if it's happy, even if it doesn't look like there's any threat at all, go now and check out whether you are founded on that solid rock. It's important. It's for your sake.
Yeah.
It's not just a religious exercise. It has to do with your well-being. It has to do with the health of your family.
Yeah.
It's very important. Go now. Check if there's anything that was mislaid, that was not founded solidly upon that rock.
Yeah.
And we'll explain exactly what it means to be founded on that rock.
Yeah. Well, common sense tells you. I mean, if you want to paint a house, they will tell you clean the walls first, you know, because if you try and apply the paint on maybe an oily surface or dusty surface or whatever, it will not stick. Or if you want to glue your shoes for that matter, they'll tell you clean it first, because if there's dirt, then obviously the glue doesn't stick to the shoe. You have to first clean both surfaces and then you can apply it and then it will stick together.
I've got an experience to confirm what you are saying, because just the other day, I don't know what I did, but I moved my hand in the car and I knocked my mirror right off the windscreen.
Yeah.
And it fell onto the ground. And I said, oh dear, what do I do now? This is broke. It's unstuck.
Yeah.
And I then found, a long time ago, we were able to buy some special epoxy where you put on the activator on the one side and you put on the resin on the other side, the hardener on the other side.
Yeah.
And then you put the two together and then within 3 minutes, it stuck.
Yeah.
So I went looking for this, and I found I've only got a little bit of activator left, maybe a drop or two. But because it's spread very thinly, that's okay. So I put the activator on the metal piece that sticks to the windscreen, and then you have the piece, you have that the surface of the windscreen itself that you have to treat with a bead of the resin,
yeah,
or the epoxy or whatever it is. But I didn't read the instructions properly. So as soon as I put the bead of epoxy on the window and I put the activator on the metal part, I pushed it against the windscreen and held it there until my arm nearly fell off, which was only 3 minutes. And, well, that was it. It was stuck. And I was happy, job done. Now you've got to just wait for a few hours for it to properly bond, which is what I did. And then when I went to put on the mirror, I just screwed on the last screw and the whole thing came down again. The problem was it was the last bit of activator I had, so I can't repeat the story. But it puzzled me because you put the activator, you put the bead of the solution, you put them together, you hold it for 3 minutes. Why did this thing come unstuck? Because it is advertised as a windscreen mirror adhesive, a fixer. So this should not happen. You know what they say, if all else fails, go back to the manual. So I took the instructions, folded up neatly inside the box and unfolded it, and I read, once you apply the activator, you have to wait for 5 minutes or longer for it to completely evaporate. It must be touched dry, which I didn't do. It was wet. So I didn't follow the instructions.
Yeah.
It couldn't hold together.
Yeah.
Now, God's word contains all the instructions that we need for a wholesome marriage.
Yeah.
But if you say, well, I'll do it my way.
Yeah.
I'll follow my own head.
Yeah.
I know this.
Yes.
I can handle it. And you go and do it, then when you need your rear view mirror, it falls off.
Yeah.
It's not going to work. Let's take a short break. I hope you enjoyed that lovely piece of music. We're back again, and in this program for the layman, with my sweet wife next to me, we are dealing with marriage, marriage counseling, and all the principles that lead to a solid and a wholesome marriage. We speak about a happy marriage, but that doesn't mean it will not be without its trials and tribulations, and even heartaches and pain. Just because there are heartaches, just because there are pain, doesn't mean that it's not a marriage from God or that it's not a good marriage. In fact, the more trials and tribulations you can overcome and have the necessary stickability by the grace of God, that qualifies for a wholesome marriage. Now, in the break, we just discussed how fortunate it was that the mirror came off the car, because now we had a fresh example of what happens if you don't follow the instructions.
Yeah.
Now, God had given instructions for marriage in Ephesians, in Colossians, in 1 Peter, in Matthew 19 and other portions also, even in the Old Testament.
Yeah.
Like one example, Malachi, God says, I hate divorce.
Yeah.
You have broken faith with the wife of your youth, and so on. Genesis chapter 3, how that God brought Adam and Eve together, the principles that are involved there. And maybe we should actually start right at the beginning. This is just an introductory to the introductory message to the series of talks that we're going to have on marriage, which I think is due, very due in our time. Now, we'll be covering this in the future. How a marriage begins, the prelude to a marriage, what steps boys and girls need to take when it comes to such a thing as marriage. And that's very important, because you'll find that in the Western world, especially from America, there are things that are coming out that are passing for evangelical Christianity, but are not.
Yeah.
It's paganism, heathendom, it's far removed from biblical principles. People follow that kind of advice. You have many Christian programs that have a psychological approach to marriage.
Yeah.
And all the issues that surface in marriage, they try to psychologically solve and bridge those problems. And actually, you cannot lean on your own understanding. You have to trust in the Lord with all your heart, and He will direct your paths. And so we're going to look at what the Bible says. Not Hollywood, not Bollywood, or Gollywood, or Nollywood, like the Nigerian film industry. We're going to follow the biblical principles so that we can lay down a format and a guideline for how to secure a happy marriage, a blessed marriage, from God's perspective, even though marriage itself has been severely under attack, and we'll cover that as well, in which ways marriage is under attack today. We'll look at some of the issues that arise that bring stress to the marriage. We think of a barren marriage where there are no children. We think of where there are children, and then the children go haywire. Just recently, we've seen that a very high-profile preacher, a man of God, Piper, his son has set up a website in direct opposition to his father, you know, going against all the Christian principles that he had been taught, and sharing with everybody in the world, more than a million people, how that he hated his Christian upbringing. So a real rebel. How does one deal with that? How did John Piper deal with that? These are the things that we are looking forward to in the future.
Yeah. Yeah, that's wonderful that we can speak about these things, because it's so important to, you know, make sure that one covers all these things that can influence a marriage, to derail it, basically, and bring it to a fall.
But even if we cover it, we still, you and I, can only take responsibility for ourselves individually.
Yeah.
You and I can't get into the listener's heart and principally think about these truths that we will share and then apply it.
Yeah.
Sometimes people can just be stubborn.
Yes.
A wife can say, I've suffered enough, no more, I'm going to divorce.
Yeah.
She may be a Christian. The Bible says God hates divorce. A man must not cut asunder what God has put together, but they just ride roughshod over that and said, no, we're going to go ahead with that.
Yeah. Yeah. And the Bible speaks about in Romans 12, where he says, offer yourselves as a living sacrifice to God, dedicated to his service and pleasing to him. Then he continues a little further, saying that we must be transformed inwardly by the renewing of our minds, and that we must not follow the pattern of this world. That, you know, the world sets a pattern, and that is in humanism, in, you know, secular humanism, and whichever other Hollywood style or whatever, there is a pattern for marriage for today. And unfortunately, many Christians, instead of taking the biblical pattern, putting that down and following it, they take those patterns and expect to get God's results. You know, I mean, I did some sewing. My mother loved sewing, and so she taught me. And I remember when you want to have a certain dress, you have to buy a certain pattern. You can't take another dress pattern and expect to get that dress that you wanted. You have to use the exact pattern. And when you put it down, it may not look anything like what the results would be. But obviously, the person who developed the pattern knew that you have to cut those curves and those kinds of lines to be able to, when you stitch it together, to get the result that you're looking for. And so our heavenly creator, who made us and who is the creator of marriage.
Exactly.
He's the one who brought in marriage.
Yes.
So he knows exactly what the pattern is for that marriage to be successful and to hold.
Yes.
And we cannot expect now, if we follow the pattern of the one who only knows how to destroy, and we also, like Eve, go and eat from that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the tree of the self-life, and we expect now when we do that and we follow all those ideas and principles that, voila, there's going to be a godly, happy marriage.
Yeah, I like that. How can you expect, if you go and eat from the tree, the fruit of the tree that you're not supposed to eat, that you're still going to enjoy paradise?
Yeah.
How did you think, how are you going to still stay in Eden, the beautiful garden, if you go and eat a foreign fruit that you're not supposed to eat?
Exactly. And, you know, in life, constantly, there are those choices between the fruit of the self-life or the knowledge of good and evil, the tree where I am God, I am like God, or the tree of life, which is of the spirit. So it's these choices all the time that you make in a relationship, whether you're going to eat this one or that one. The one brings death, the other brings life. And we keep on bumping our heads, wanting to listen to the devil, to think, well, you know, I will be like God if I eat of this tree. But the results are,
you're not like
paradise.
You become worse than a worm. Yeah. Anneli, thank you for that. We have to wrap up the program. Thanks for sharing that with us. This is great. This is fantastic. Folks, we look forward to meeting with you again next week, same time, same place, for the layman. We're dealing with a series on marriage.